I want to read, first of all, in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 21. He that overcomes, to him will I give to sit with me in my throne, as I also have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 28. Ye are they who have persevered with me in my temptations. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2 and verse 41. Those then who had accepted his word were baptized, and there were added in that day about 3,000 souls. They persevered in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, breaking of bread, prayers. Now the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11 of the Epistle to the Hebrews, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he had become great, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God than to have the temporary pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect to the record. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered, as seeing him who was invisible. By faith he celebrated the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood of the destroyer of the firstborn. Why not? And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be vigilant, watch. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in faith, knowing that the selfsame sufferings are accomplished in your brotherhood, which is in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, when ye have suffered for a little while, himself shall make perfect, establish, strengthen, ground. To him be the glory and the might for the ages of the ages. Amen. I'd like to say something this evening, dear brethren, about perseverance. It's easy to give up. That's true in so many things. Everyday things. Young people know that too, even at school. It's easy to give up. Easy to put off. Defer till another time. We're all guilty of these things, even in the very simple facts of life. But you know, perseverance is something that I need. And I would suggest, dear brethren, that it's something we can all do with in greater measure at the present time. Perseverance. We need faith for it, we do indeed. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. And supremely, we need an object before us. And the object, dear brethren, for the stimulation of our affections that will hold us in a path of perseverance. You say, well, what is that anyway? Well, I believe it's a committed steadfastness that we're not going to be turned aside. And despite the difficulties, because I think perseverance suggests that things are not just too easy. There has to be a committal. I think that we need, really, to have our eyes fixed. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was tested like Jesus, who is the great overcomer like our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we began in Revelation chapter 3. Wonderful, you know, as they come to the end of these addresses to the seven assemblies, and you come to Laodicea, where there was a state of indifference and lukewarmness really to Christ. Indeed, the exhortation of the rebuke rather, not the exhortation. I wish thou wert cold or hot. At the end of that, you know, it says, he that overcomes, to him will I give to sit with me in my throne, as I, emphatic, also have overcome, that have sat down with my Father in his throne. Think of the preciousness, dear brethren, of being stimulated by a word from the Lord in glory. Think of him there, as he says here, as I also have overcome, sat down with my Father in his throne. A reminder that the Lord Jesus is the great overcomer.
brethren, what was against that blessed man, our hearts could never fathom. Not only as we're reminded in Hebrews, the contradiction of sinners against himself, but the awful antagonism of Satan himself, and all the devices that he could muster, these were all arranged against that blessed one. But think of him from glory, as I also have overcome. Oh, the blessedness and glory, brethren, that God provides us in the midst of what is a lukewarm character of things that's seen around us at the present day. And unless we're revived in the power of the Spirit of God to have our hearts engaged with Christ, it'll be a feature we'll find not far away, but right inside our own hearts. So we need to take account of Jesus, as I, emphatic, have also overcome. Oh, the preciousness of it, dear brethren. Jesus, the great overcomer. Every wicked power was set against him. Every temptation, you know, he knew. He did indeed. That secret life, you know, that commanded, as we were saying this afternoon, the salute of heaven, thou art my beloved son. Who knows, beloved, what temptations were in that secret life. Every day, every moment, Satan left him for a time and came back, we know. At the beginning of his pathway, remember, there was that time when he was tested 40 days of Satan, and he hungered. He did indeed for 40 days. Sustained temptations, blessed overcomer Jesus. What perseverance, what steadfastness, you know. We've got an object for our hearts, dear brethren, and our affections in a lukewarm, broken day of things. And we need to be set in the spirit of overcoming, in appreciation of our blessed Lord and Master. It's what will attract us. It's what will, as we constantly appreciate what he has done, then I believe our hearts will be set to overcome and be steadfast and truly be those who persevere. You know, the temptations of that were in the way of the Lord Jesus. How men sought to catch him in his words. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers. Satan himself, as I say, tested him those 40 days. Oh, what the Lord Jesus sustained, beloved, we'll never know. But there was a blessed, unique humanity. Thank God for it, you know. The stainless, spotless perfection of Jesus. That shone through every temptation and every trial. And even at the very end of that life of Jesus, when man gathered together under the power of Satan, would do his worst to Christ. He sustained it all. There, as you look upon him, you know, as your blessed Savior, I trust, hanging there at the cross. That ridicule hurled upon him that he saved others that he couldn't save himself. The spitting, the scorning, the reviling. Oh, what a spectacle of derision man made of Jesus. The great overcomer. Thank God, beloved, hear us tonight that we can rejoice in the blessed fact that he overcame not only all that man could do for him, but to the sense of being the mighty victor, he met Satan in all his power. What one of us would be here tonight, I trust, in nothing but the overflowing joy of salvation, were it not for the wonderful victory that Christ our Savior has secured. And here he is, sending this precious message. Where is he tonight? Thank God he's on the throne. Says he that I also have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Seated on his Father's throne tonight, crowned with glory and honour. Let our eyes be focused tonight on the glory of the divine overcomer. The one who persevered against every wicked foe that was against him. And supremely beloved, let us ever remember, in a time when not one of us could stand in the righteous gaze of a holy God, that blessed Saviour suffered there, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Oh, the glory of what Christ has accomplished. Let us begin that way, beloved, appreciating what Jesus has done, the perseverance, the overcoming, the steadfastness that was in. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Nothing turned our Savior aside. But then, you know, he appreciates persons who have found a treasure in himself, in whose heart there is a work of gold. And he appreciates persons who are steadfast and persevering too. And I think that's encouraging for us tonight. Look, this gospel where we read in chapter 22. That's why we read it. Because The Lord Jesus is the great example. But then he appreciates those lovers of his who were around him at that time. He says, but ye are they who have persevered with me in my temptation. What they observed, what they had heard, what they had seen. They had seen what wicked questions were raised with him. What would he do in certain situations? The way men sought to catch him, you know. The woman taken in adultery. What would he do, you know? What would he do? The Lord said to stone such. They never had an answer like that from Jesus. Let him that is without sin cast the first stone. After that second writing, you know, the woman goes free. The one who came down from the glory, the one who went into hell. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth subsists through Jesus Christ. They never thought of the Lord Jesus dealing with it in that way. Oh, what was against him, you know? And yet he values these lovers. They had been, if you read earlier, they had been there. There was also a strife among them, which of them should be held to be the greatest. He was among them as the one that served. Does he upbraid them for their ambition? He just tells them this. He was glad and appreciated that they had continued with him, persevered with him in his temptations. Oh, what grace, beloved. It's not that he approved for one instant of the way in which they were talking, but I'm sure the grace of the Saviour's one. And what he said is the one who was serving in such wonderful grace. And the way he said, but ye are they who have persevered with me in my temptations. I think, dear brethren, we can see from the scripture very clearly. The Lord Jesus appreciates those who are persevering as appreciating himself. Despite the difficulties, and let's remember that if there were difficulties at this time, there are a part of Christianity. The path of true discipleship after Christ has never been proclaimed as an easy path. The Lord did not do it. And it's perfectly clear from the Acts it wasn't easy. And for many today, you know, it's not very easy. The reproach of the Christ is something that's very active. But our hearts are encouraged, surely. That whatever faithfulness, I say this to my young friends today, if you're faithful in the midst of temptation, and you persevere in affection and diligence and appreciation of Jesus, confessing his name, let me assure you, the Lord Jesus appreciates it. He appreciates it in each one. He appreciates it in every heart that is devoted and faithful to himself. Perseverance is a need for the moment, but perseverance in the interests of Christ and in appreciation of that blessed one will not go unnoticed. It will not go unrewarded. Such is the love of our Saviour. And so we find that at the beginning of the Acts, you know, things weren't easy then. But in the midst of all that wonderful blessing in the beginning of the Acts, you know, it must have been tremendous time when, as a result of the preaching by Peter, says there were added in that day about 3,000 souls. Wonder how many souls will be added today, you know. Very interesting to think of how many souls will be added, you know, blessed by God's word today. Yeah. I think we need to remember, dear brethren, that God's arm, his ears are not heavy, his arm's not shorter than it can see. We should be urgent that in these, the last days of the dispensation of divine grace, God may bring many into blessing. 3,000 souls. This was Jerusalem, a place where there would still be undoubtedly much known of all that had transpired in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and all that had subsequently happened in the burial and his resurrection. And what wonderful blessing. What a God we have, you know, as you think of him coming in and blessing persons of Israel. Well, we should be glad today. And in prayer, seek that souls may be added. 3,000 is not too much for God. Let us persevere in prayer. And so it says, they persevered in the teaching, fellowship of the apostles, in breaking of bread and prayers. Think of that. Think of the way in which these persons were set. They weren't going to be at a loose end, just to use a homely expression, they were going to persevere teaching and fellowship of the apostles. They wanted to know something more, just in simple language, about what the apostles could say about that glorious person. They wanted to know something of those, the fellowship of the apostles. They wanted to know something of the preciousness of the knowledge of those who had been in company with this glorious person. And that's available today, beloved. Not in the sense that these persons are around, but the Holy Scriptures, in God's goodness, provide us with wonderful teaching and with wonderful appreciation of the Lord Jesus. And these things are available today. And I believe we need to persevere in appreciation steadfastly of these holy things. And then it goes on to say, in breaking of bread and prayers. Wonderful that they should go on with that, the appreciation of Christ, witness to the breaking of bread. No doubt there was much to come in the way of Paul's teaching in relation to it, but the breaking of bread was simply then, I suppose, no doubt daily, but simply a calling to mind of the Saviour, a calling to mind of the Lord Jesus, and a simple expression of love and affection for himself. And that's available to you. And the Lord Jesus appreciated it then, and he appreciates it now. These precious features of understanding more of himself, acting in affection for himself, appreciating the company of those who love him. These are all things that he values, and he values it in his own today. Do we? Is my perseverance such? You know, we might persevere in things that are of our own interests, but what about the precious things of Jesus Christ? It says, you know, in last days, no policy, say all things, seek their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ. All to think that we appreciate, not just think, but act, so that we show that we appreciate the things of Jesus Christ. And so it says here, further, breaking of bread and prayers. I think, you know, that these prayers would be a mark of dependence. Indeed, it's one of the things we're reminded of in Colossians, that we have to persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. That is, dear brethren, not simply, I believe, for our own deeds, although in personal communion, surely, with God and speaking to the Lord Jesus himself and the power of the Holy Spirit. Surely we can ask divine persons for help and blessing. But you know, it's a great thing to be able to commune in the sense that we can leave our own affairs and have some time, you might say, in the presence of God, and glean something of the preciousness of Christ. I believe, you know, Paul's prayers, you know, would show us that he had in mind the greatness of divine blessing and divine truth for God's people. And that's a wonderful thing. Not simply our own needs, but and blessing may be for our personal circumstances as under God's will. Blessing for the family. These are right things, of course they are, to take these requests to God. But the persevering in prayer, you know, would involve that we are concerned, you know, about divine interests. I think these persons were, you know. I think anyone who'd been blessed among that 3,000 would be praying that might be more. We would. And they'd be praying that something of the preciousness of Christ, that all the truth that they knew might be known by even more. And that's a wonderful thing. To enter in, you know, into an appreciation, in dependence upon God, counting upon the Holy Spirit, that he might enlarge our appreciation of that glorious one, our Lord Jesus Christ, and give us greater thoughts as to the blessedness of the truth that God has in mind, really, for those that love him. These are real things. The great thoughts of God, I think, are open to those who are dependent on God and commune with God in the attitude of prayer. One of the great features, I'm sure, of piety is prayer. And we need to persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. That's Colossians. We need to be thankful too, dear brethren. One thing, you know, to be praying, but, you know, we should thank God for the answers of prayers. Oh, let's have not only, you know, prayers that, as I say, for personal and household matters, family matters, but let our prayers too be at the golden altar, you know, where we can give something of the fragrance of Christ, you know, something that delights God's ear, something of an appreciation of his work in one another as it typifies the blessed features of Christ. These are real precious things, and I believe they gave the light to the blessed God. In fact, it comes to mind as we're speaking together. I think it's Romans. I'm going to look it up anyway. Just, I think it's one of the things that comes early to the believer in Jesus, when he presents his body a living sacrifice. It's one of the things that comes, you know, he's reminded. Yes. It says, not slothful, in spirit fervent, serving the Lord, as regards hope, rejoicing, as regards tribulation, enduring, as regards prayer, persevering. And that's one of the precious features, you might say, that a believer in Jesus understands as he presents his body as a living sacrifice, his intelligent service under God's hand, proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's someone who's persevering in prayer. Other features there, but I was struck with that in prayer, persevering. Well, then, persevere in prayer. Particularly that that we and our brethren, indeed all the saints, might enter in greater measure to the precious thoughts of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, because you have a man there that persevered. What a man he was. God loves to point out, you know, persons who persevere. I suppose if you think of this very chapter 11 of Hebrews, you get persons who, you might say, you could write over it in one sentence. They were persons who were steadfast. They were persons who persevered. In fact, in reading the chapter, when you get to verse 32, what more do I say? For the time would fail me of telling of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and of the prophets. It's like a victory subs, you know, in the writer's from the writer's pen, you know. Time would fail to tell. These were persons who persevered. If you read down the chapter toward the end, in the most appalling circumstances. And you know the world wasn't one of them. The world was not. Saints of God, persevering, rich in faith, you know. Persons who brought God into their circumstances and rejoiced, you know, in the blessedness of the secret of divine approval. Says of whom the world was not one. Oh, dear brethren, let us appreciate saints of God who have persevered. These listings in Hebrews 11, as we well know, were put down in order to encourage those to whom Paul, we believe, wrote, that they might, as appreciating what had been written before, set themselves on in a persevering and steadfast way. And so let us appreciate, we can appreciate our older brethren. Thank God for the work of God in older ones. A treasure, you might say, acquired over many years of substance and appreciation, knowledge of Christ, knowledge of God and his ways. And perhaps the earthen vessel breaking, that the light might shine out in greater measure. Brethren, let us just take account of God's triumph. That precious result seen in earthen vessels. The light shining, something of Christ shining out. That's the best result of the persevering. And let us appreciate it increasingly. You know, sometimes we only realize the value, the true value of a brother or sister after the gone. You see, well, he did that. She did this. That's the service he did. That's the service she did. And it's not, dear brethren, that we shut our eyes to what may have gone on so preciously and carried on by God's people in love for Christ, serving one another. But it should stimulate our hearts to appreciate in greater measure what is done for one another in love serving one another. And also, I believe, it should stimulate us that we ourselves might be saved as perseverers in a greater measure to serve God's people, serve God's interests in love for Christ in a greater and more fervent way. So you have here in Moses, great servant of God, but certain things that he does here by faith.
when he became great, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer affliction along with the people of God and to have the temporary pleasure of sin. What a great man Moses must have been. Great man. He must have been a tower of intellectual superiority in Egypt, you know. He would be acquainted with all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And as Hebrews puts it, it says here that he refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God. How despised Abraham in Egypt. How despised. You read Exodus, you'll find what a sad time, what a heavy time, what a difficult time they had. Now Moses, you know, he would know all about that, and he made his choices. We need to make choices, you know, in relation to life's pathway, in relation to our Christian testimony. Moses, he and does certain things by faith. Did he ever regret it? Was it streaming the reproach of the Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt? You know, sometimes they put on show in exhibitions round the country. Treasures of Egypt. Marvelous thing. Wonderful. Well, Moses would know all about these things. He said, the reproach of the Christ. He heard a sweeter story in the language of the hymn writer. He found a truer key. There's nothing like Christ, you know, before our affections. But Christ will hold us. That blessed, glorious man who will hold us, help us, sustain us, help us to persevere in the midst of every opposition, of every temptation. And then we come to the part that I had where you respect to the recompense. Well, there's always recompense. We often sing those words, no loss in this world can compare with that day. A rich compensation for suffering and loss. The Lord takes account of these things, and there's no one can recompense like Jesus. Did Moses get it? Of course he got it. You think of it there, as he, in all the way in which he was despised, no doubt, as he esteemed the reproach of the Christ. You think of the time when he saw that burning bush, not consumed. You think of the time, you know, when he was given the pattern on the mount. You think of the instruction given to him, you know, where it says that thou shalt make an ark of acacia wood. Oh, the blessedness of it, you know. Even it says, you know, in relation to Moses, he was faithful in all my house. God says that. But saying something far greater, you know, when God gave him the pattern unto the tabernacle. Thou shalt make an ark of acacia. He was able to see in wonderful blessing that Christ was the center of it all. And it's a wonderful thing it made. You know, what a difference it made to that. Meekest man in the earth and all the earth. What a testimony he was, you know, right through that time. God recompensed him. What it must have been, you know, when God spoke to him at the beginning of Exodus. How had he come through all that testing time? He persevered, seeing him losing his heart. Oh, you say it's vain. What a contradiction, you know. It doesn't make sense in natural terms. How can you see something that's invisible? Brethren, it involves faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But by faith, what do we see at the present time? We see Jesus crowned with glory. Thank God for that. Perseverance will come in our hearts as we see him who is truly invisible to natural eyes, but we can see and appreciate by the eyes of faith. And we need the Spirit's power for that. And he persevered as seeing him who was invisible. Oh, the blessedness of it, dear brethren, to be attracted by the glory of Christ. Typically, that was what Moses had. Wonderful thing, you know, as you think of it, the burning bush, the pattern of the tabernacle and all it flowed from it. I suppose the view of the land from the top of Pisgah. The preciousness of appearing in glory with Christ there as it's portrayed for us in the gospel. Wonderful recompense. Beloved, if we're perseverers now, maybe you know something of the reproach of Christ. Maybe we know something about being rejected in this world. But who can measure a recompense for the Savior? No one.
Oh, the blessedness of it, you know, I think should touch our hearts. Moses persevered at seeing him who was invisible. I've no doubt, right when he was taken up as a servant, and in those 40 subsequent years from leaving Egypt, by faith, as we're told, he was sustained again by that wonderful knowledge he had of God. Persevered. Let us, therefore, dear brethren, as we appreciate Christ, the one who's invisible to this world, but how real he is to be. Where is he dwelling at the present time? Well, actuality says he's in glory, Christ's in glory. Crowned there. Faith says Christ dwelling through faith in our hearts. Let him be crowned there, and let us be perseverers as a result. Oh, dear brethren, the day is dark. The day was dark when they left Egypt. And I suppose if you take it in simple terms as to where they were leaving and where they were going, it was an ominous journey. God intended that it should only be 11 days' journey. It took them 40 years. It takes us a long time to come through to God's thoughts. But God said that he would take them out and plant them in the mountain of his inheritance. He never lost a thought of what he would do. He carried it through in the triumph of his own ways. We ought to appreciate that too. And persevere in the present time in the sure knowledge that in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be sustained right through the wilderness time, and not one thought of God will be lost, because Christ at the present time is bringing many sons to glory, and God is going to triumph in his blessed ways through what he's doing. So, at the end of it all, you know, you wonder what examples there are in the New Testament. There are many, many examples from the Scripture of persons who persevered. Daniel persevered. What was against him? So much. Do you think of a Nehemiah persevering? Going on with that building? Ridiculed. A fox could jump over your wall. They said to him at one time, he persevered. Brethren, heaven always takes account of those who persevere in divine things. Let us take courage from that. Let us take example for it. And be set for it ourselves. You know, Paul sums it up, I think, at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. So then, my beloved brethren, be firm, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. What a commendation, you might say, for those who are diligent and persevering in the things of Jesus Christ. He himself, what a perseverer he was. You know, as you think of what he says in 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy, Paul, as he's about to pass off this scene, he speaks of what he'd done, you know. Paul, you might say, I say simply, Paul was no shirker from reproach or anything of that nature. Not a bit of it. But the time of his release had come. He was already poured down. Combated the good combat, I finished the race, kept the faith. Henceforth the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will render to me in that day. But not only to me, but to all who love his appearing. Well, Paul speaking of the recompense. How he had persevered. The Lord will recompense Paul and recompense him fully and blessedly for all that he sustained in testimony for his master. But those words are ever precious to be reminded again of them this evening. Not only to me, but to all who love his appearing. Peter says, where we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, be vigilant, watch. Brethren, we need to be steadfast. We need to be vigilant. Why? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith. Peter knew something of it. He knew something of the way Satan had sought to have him. The Lord had prayed for him at one point, his faith would fail them. And here he is, you know, what does he say? Has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. What a calling, beloved brethren. The persevering, yes, the diligence, the vigilance, the watching, the dependence in prayer. Thank God for it all. But oh, the preciousness of the end in view. God is here. What does it say? God of all grace called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. What a calling. eternal glory in Christ Jesus. What a hope Peter puts before the brethren. What a hope that God would put before us tonight to thrill our souls. Eternal glory in that blessed one. Eternal glory in Christ Jesus. To view those beauties, to see those glories that are in that Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. How precious, dear brethren. What a goal. What an end. What a result, you know, for those who suffered something of reproach and persecution for his name's sake here and now. And so, what has he gone on to say? When ye have suffered for a little while, himself, oh how precious, himself shall make perfect, establish strength and ground. To him be the glory and the might for the age of ages. Amen. Peter ends with a note of triumph, a note of doxology. There's to be glory, really, to that, to the blessed God. In the persecution, the testing, you'll notice, is for a little while. The waiting time is for a little while. Brethren, the time for perseverance is just a little while. It's eternal glory in Christ Jesus. The persecution, the suffering, the reproach, the difficult time is a little while. May our hearts, therefore, dear brethren, be encouraged. May they take fresh joy and stimulus tonight by gazing freshly in faith in the power of the Spirit on our Lord Jesus Christ as the great overcomer. May it set our hearts forward, and may in the path of testimony that remains to us, may our hearts give glory to God and testimony to our Lord Jesus Christ for his name's sake. Amen.